KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, gale warning Wednesday. Today, variable winds 10 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet with freezing spray. And Wednesday, northwest winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet with freezing spray. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, variable winds 10 knots, becoming northeast 25 in the afternoon, seas 4 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet with freezing spray. And Wednesday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet with freezing spray. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet with freezing spray. Tonight, northwest winds 25 knots, diminishing to 15 after midnight, seas 5 feet with freezing spray. And Wednesday, north winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, southeast winds 15 knots, becoming north 30 in the afternoon, seas 7 feet with freezing spray. Tonight, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet with snow and freezing spray. And Wednesday, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with freezing spray. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 13 feet with snow. Tonight, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 10 feet with freezing spray. And Wednesday, north winds 15 knots, seas 6 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, numerous snow showers, areas of blowing snow in the afternoon. Snow accumulation can be up to 3 inches. Highs in the lower 20s to lower 30s. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, shifting to northwest 15 to 30 in the afternoon. Tonight, areas of blowing snow in the evening, then numerous snow showers in the evening. Scattered snow showers after midnight. Snow accumulation can be up to 2 inches. Lows to 10 to 20 above. Northwest winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers. Highs 15 to 25. North winds 15 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There is a high tide at 2:30 a.m. at 6 feet 1 inch. A low at 7:10 a.m. at 3 feet 10 inches. A high at 1 o'clock at 8 feet 3 inches. And a low tonight at 8:16. A minus tide of 1 foot 2 inches. Your sun rose at 9:39 this morning, and your sun will set at 6:10, giving us 8 hours and 31 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, snow crabs are hitting Unalaska's docks again, and the State Board of Education is thinking about cell phone policies across Alaska. Stay tuned.
ALIU is proud to sponsor the stories and voices that connect our community. ALIU is committed to building a stronger future for our region. To learn more about ALIUT's commitment for a stronger future, visit alucorp.com.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in. It's Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. Snow crabs have started hitting Unalaska's docks again this month for the first time in about 2 years. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Ethan Nichols says there are currently about 10 vessels registered in the Bering Sea commercial fishery.
The fleet is just getting started for the most part. Fishing so far, the reports from the grounds, there seems to be good numbers of nice new shell large snow crab on the far northern portions of the grounds, similar to the last few snow crab fisheries we've had.
The fishery reopened this fall after a two-year closure due to low stocks. The first delivery wasn't until about 2 weeks ago. Alaska snow crabs are historically fished in the new year and into the early spring. Nichols says right now the number of keepers per pot is somewhat low, but that will increase as the season progresses.
That's only coming from a handful of our first deliveries, and that includes, some prospecting by vessels early on in the season. It sounds like, from what we know so far, that the highest CPUEs are being seen on the northern portion of the grounds. And as vessels get more dialed in on those hot spots or those productive areas of fishing, they'll be coming in with, full loads of crab that are more reflective of the hot spots on the grounds.
Fishermen were allotted about 4.7 million pounds of snow crab this season. That's pretty low compared to historic catch limits. About 17% of that had been harvested as of Friday morning. Normally, some of that harvest would be processed in St. Paul. But this year, everything is coming to Unalaska because Trident didn't open their plant on the Pribilof Island, which is the only processor in the northern region. Nichols says it sounds like processing the extra crab in Unalaska is going smoothly. He says it's made some of their work at Fish and Game a little easier, too.
It's just made our sampling a little bit more streamlined, really, in terms of just travel logistics this time of year. Not having to battle getting in and out of the Pribilofs with weather and flight availability and all of that. It's just simplified our sampling efforts.
Nichols says he expects to see a total of about 15 vessels participate in this year's fishery. Fish ticket prices are coming in around $3 per pound. Meanwhile, there are roughly 8 vessels registered for the Western Bering Sea Tanner Crab fishery. Less than 10% of that total harvest has been caught so far. Crabbers have until the end of March to catch the Tanner Crabs. And the Pacific Cod fishery in state waters opened up today. Nichols says he expects about 20 vessels to kick that off. They have a harvest of roughly 44 million pounds, which is just about the same as last year's catch limit. The Alaska Board of Education and Early Development released a draft statewide cell phone policy during a meeting last week. The policy allows school districts to restrict cell phone usage by students in class, with exemptions for medical reasons and other educational purposes. The board recommends districts adopt the restrictions, but the policy stops short of requiring it. Alaska Education Commissioner Dina Bishop says districts would retain control over many of the policy specifics.
Those smaller details that are quite important to the place and the space would be district decision.
Many schools have enacted their own cell phone restrictions in recent years and reported positive outcomes, including a significant decrease in student discipline. The board's draft policy differs from a proposed state Senate bill that would require schools to enact their own cell phone restrictions or adopt the state board's version. It would also prohibit cell phone use during lunch periods. Bishop says the policy aims to strike a balance with student cell phone use.
I honestly feel that if we don't pass something, it's like having a liquor cabinet open and saying, you know what, kids, just regulate yourself on that.
The board will gather feedback from school district superintendents and vote on the policy in March. Speaking of education, at least 3 districts across the state are considering closing at least one school. The closures are one of the most visible signs of the state's shrinking population. As Alaska Public Media's Tim Rocky reports, when a school shuts down, the impacts extend beyond the classroom.
School districts in Anchorage and Kodiak have already decided to close at least one school later this year, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board will vote next month on whether to close 5 elementary schools. Anchorage and Fairbanks have framed their closure discussions as right-sizing, arguing that fewer school buildings are needed to serve a declining number of students. Nowhere has seen a more acute decrease in students than Fairbanks. Alaska has 3,600 fewer students than it did 25 years ago, and the Fairbanks School District accounts for 2/3 of that loss. Brandy Hardy is a Fairbanks School Board member. Born and raised in Fairbanks, a school she attended as a child has already been closed by the district. She voted to close Ben Eielson Junior Senior High School last year and will vote next month on whether to close several more.
Looking at the state of what's going on, it's why I joined the board, because when you see a problem, you try to fix it. That's what I wanted to do, and I have tried my damnedest to fix the problem, but the problem isn't at our school board. It's in Juneau with funding and with the way we've written our legislation. That's beyond our control. Unless that fixes and our schools improve, we're just going to see more and more people leaving the state.
District officials say inflation and roughly a decade of flat state funding have contributed to massive budget deficits, along with continued out-migration of residents from the state. Districts in Ketchikan, Sitka, and the Matanuska-Susitna Borough have also warned residents of looming budget shortfalls that may result in school closures or consolidation of programs. Hardy argues that state funding has fallen behind what Alaska schools need to stay afloat, while admitting that the school district needs to consolidate. She worries about the future for students at Hunter Elementary in Fairbanks, where she taught previously. She'll vote on a proposal to close the school next month.
We're supposed to take care of each other in our communities, and I am worried that if that safety net that we've built that is Hunter, that's been in our community for decades, is closed, what's going to happen to those kids?
Another significant change in student population has been the out-migration from neighborhood schools to charter and correspondence schools, which impacts the funding each district receives for those students. Over the last 25 years, 10,000 Alaska students have moved from neighborhood public schools to correspondence programs. And during that same time, 32 schools have been closed across the state. Alaska Education Commissioner Dina Bishop notes the issue of school closures is complex, but says public schools need to adapt to a changing environment in order to attract students.
I think we can all agree that change needs to happen because we see empty space in schools. We see not the best use. We see that we want improvement in student outcomes and opportunities. We don't want to lose our music programs. We don't want to lose this. So in order for Alaska to adjust to the changes that have naturally happened, like other industries have changed.
Bishop says an increase in state funding alone would not solve the financial issues districts are facing.
The pressure in the last 10 years of closing schools hasn't been because kids left the state of Alaska. What they're doing is choosing a different school type, and then that offers them more flexibility. So then how do we then support that and utilize schools too at the same time for other things?
Kevin Berry is an economics professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage and the parent of an Anchorage student who will have new classmates next fall due to school closures. Berry says despite the emotional process of closing a neighborhood school, students and the surrounding community can benefit from consolidations.
These consolidations don't necessarily mean there'll be larger class sizes and worse outcomes, because they're not only being driven by insufficient funding, they're also being driven by demographic changes in the state.
Berry says the impacts of school closures reach beyond the classroom, but they're more damaging in rural communities and less noticeable in urban areas like Anchorage and Fairbanks. He also notes that inflation and out-migration are factors outside of school district control.
Yes, there is less funding because the BSA didn't keep up with inflation. That being said, the case for consolidation based on the number of students we're serving is in some ways a related but separate issue.
Leaders of the Alaska House and Senate say they plan to pass an education funding boost early in the legislative session. In Anchorage, I'm Tim Rocky.
Tune in Fridays at noon and 5 right here at KUCB for new episodes of the Bering Sea Barometer. Join your host, Captain Pete Nathan, for journal-style entries from all up and down the Aleutian chain. The series chronicles the real-life experiences of fishing the Bering Sea. Find all episodes of the podcast on our website and on Spotify. Let's take a look at what's happening in Unalaska this week. An Unalaska City Council meeting takes place tonight starting at 6. Head down to City Hall to see it in person, or tune in right here at 89.7 FM, Channel 8 TV, or on our website at kucb.org. APVs on public roads, taxicab rates, and lineman services are on the agenda, among other topics. KUCB's board meeting takes place tomorrow evening starting at 5:30. Agenda items include our community support funding application, the strategic plan, and the mid-year budget. Anyone is welcome to join the board here in the Burma Road Chapel. Culture Night is at the Kamalungan Tribal Office tomorrow starting at 5:30. This week, head over to put together your 2025 vision board. Don't miss this opportunity to strengthen your ties with family and community while walking a path rooted in shared values, healing, and tradition. Cookbook Club is Thursday night starting at 5:30 in the library. This month's selection is Arabia, Recipes from the Life of an Arab in Diaspora by Reem Asil. Everyone is welcome, and copies of the book are available for checkout. Finally, Unungam Tanu class is in the high school, Thursday evening from 6 to 7:30. To learn more about these events and everything else coming up, check out your community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Be excellent to each other, and party on, dudes.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shipping Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Palof Harbor Tribe is looking for an administrative assistant. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant, a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant, and a part-time Pull-Tab sales clerk. Aleutian Housing Authority is looking for a lead carpenter in King Cove. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. APIA is in need of a family advocate for Sandpoint, King Cove, and False Pass, and a cultural preservation specialist for Accutan. Community announcements. There will be a regular meeting of the Sandpoint City Council today at 6 p.m. at the Sandpoint City Chambers, and a regular meeting of the Aleutians Eastboro School District today at 6:30. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I am Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Of an unemployment, he was sitting in the witness stand. The judge's wife called up the district attorney. She said, free that brown-eyed man. If you want your job, you better free that brown-eyed man. Flying across the desert in a TWA, I saw a woman walk across the sand. She'd been walking 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. Her destination was a brown-eyed handsome man. Way back in history, 3,000 years, in fact, ever since the world began, there's been a whole lot of good women shedding tears over a brown-eyed handsome man. It's a lot of trouble with a brown-eyed handsome man. Thank you.
Her mother told her, darling, go out and find yourself a brown-eyed handsome man. Just like your daddy, he's a brown-eyed handsome man. Marlowe Venus was a beautiful lass. She had the world in the palm of her hand. She lost both her arms in a wrestling match to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. She fought and won herself a brown-eyed handsome man. 2-3 the count, with nobody on, he hit a high fly into the stand. Round the third, he was headed for home. It was a brown-eyed handsome man that won the game. It was a brown-eyed handsome man.
Borrowing time. Well, I guess we're all borrowing. Ah! blackbird in the barn. 400 acres that used to be my farm. Grew up like my daddy did. My grandpa cleared this land. When I was 5, I walked the fence while grandpa held my hand. Rain on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. This land for the nation. This land made me proud. Son, I'm just sorry there's no legacy for. Summer, one enough to pay the loan. Couldn't buy the seed to plant this spring in the farmer's bank foreclosed. Called my old friend Shipman up to auction off the land. He said, John, it's just my job, and I hope you understand. They calling it your job, oh horse, sure don't make it right. But if you want me to, I'll say a prayer for your soul tonight. And grandma's on the front porch with a Bible in her hand. Sometimes I hear her singing, take me to the promised land. Take away man's dignity. You can't work his fields and cows. But blood on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. Blood on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. Planted in the cold ash yard with 97 families who lost 97 farms. I think about my grandpa, my neighbors and my name. It's nice to feel like dying. Like a scarecrow in the rain. Rain on the scarecrow. Blood on the plow. This land for the nation. Hey, this land made me proud. And son, I'm just sorry. There's just memories for you now. Rain on the scarecrow. Blood on the
getting over you, just when I was gonna make it through another night without missing you. Thinking I might just be strong enough after all. When I hear your footsteps echoing, but
someone. And I thought of all the bad luck and the struggles we went through, and how I lost me and you lost you. What are these voices outside love's open door? Make us throw up our contentment and beg for something more.
KSDP Radio, 8:30 a.m., Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on translator K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But
if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die.
Your face.